Good morning and welcome in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those who are worshiping with us via live stream. If my voice sounds off a little bit, I was yelling a lot at a football game yesterday, so it'll recover after a while. Listen to Psalms 139, 1-7. Just focus on praising God as I read this. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it. Lord, you have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? God sees us. He knows us. He knows every detail in our lives. Just praise him this morning for all that he has done for us, for how he has loved us and walked with us. Praise God for his faithfulness. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Praise God for giving us Jesus, to take away our sins and giving us a way to be with him. Praise God because he knows us and he loves us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, caring for us and carrying us when we don't have the strength to go on. Thank you so much for giving us Jesus. And then you went beyond that and gave us your spirit to show us who you are. Fill us with a new infilling of your spirit this morning. We want to commune with you. Remove anything that is not from you. Bring a new awareness of you to each of us each day. I lift up the leaders of our nation. You have placed them in the positions they are in. I just pray that you will give them wisdom and guidance. Lead them so that your will is done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tony, I can't believe that you just read those verses, because I was going to read those verses to start out too. But this past week, the Discovery Series for our conference started, and they kind of have two main goals. One is to help people develop what they think God's call is for their life, and the other one is just to simply develop spiritual disciplines so that in that you can grow in the Lord. And so for this, but after the first session, the homework assignment is to spend some time every day in solitude and prayer of worship and just worshiping God. And those are the verses that we're studying, and so I was going to read that. Just that we could come and release the things of the week and the things in our lives and just worship God. And so, since I was going to read, I'm going to read it again. And it's a little different wording than I think what Tony had. So I just invite you to offer this, receive this, but offer this up to the Lord and know that he knows all about us. And we don't have to like hide stuff from him. And he already knows what we're going to bring, so we can just come and enjoy him and not like have to worry about like what he's thinking, because he just loves us. So I'm going to read Psalm 139, 1-10. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle to the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I just welcome you to enjoy the Lord's presence and be with Him this morning and worship with us. We're going to take offering during this first song, and you can stand and join us for worship.
Today, our Sunday school class is focused on the concept of prayer. And a key passage was 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, which says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father God, today we know that you love us, you care for us, you are to be praised and worshiped. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together and do that, corporately worship you and praise you. Father, we confess that we are people who need you, who are sinful, and need of constant forgiveness. Father, we thank you that you love us, you care for us, and you provide our every need, and we give back but a portion of that to you for the work of the church, the support of our pastors, and ultimately to change the world. Father, you know our needs. We bring them before you. Well, we just thank you for this time that we can be together to praise you and worship you and bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Kings and nations.
purify our hearts. Let us be as pure gold vessels made perfect by you for your work. Lord, we just want to offer ourselves to be set apart for you. You're our Father in one sense, and we're adopted into your family, but as working out the kingdom, you're also our master, and we are your servants, and in fact, a servant of all. I just ask that you would open up ways for us to serve, and as your word is a lamp to our path, that you would reveal the next steps of how to follow your will. I just ask that we can continue to feel your presence and your hand on Tony as you use him to minister to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So I'd like to invite the children forward. For our children's message. If you sit down this way, you'll be able to see better. So, good morning. How are you guys doing today? So, I have a question for you. What is this?
An egg.
An egg. Do you guys like to eat eggs?
Yeah, not when they're fake.
Not when they're fake. Well, I don't think anybody likes a fake one. I mean, you can make eggs lots of ways, hard-boiled, scrambled, all kinds of different ways. But how do you know if an egg is good to eat? I mean, it looks fine from the outside. So how do you know if it's good to eat or not?
You crack it.
You can crack. Well, what if you don't want to open it? What if you just want to see if it's good to eat or not? Well, there's a couple different ways you can test an egg to see if it's good to eat without actually cracking it open. And one of them is shining a light through it like that. See, there's no dark spots. If there was a dark spot, then that would be a bad egg. So I'm sure the company that sold the eggs did this already. So if you have an egg and you think, hey, I want to raise chickens, and you can test it. If it glows like this all the way through, there's no chicken growing inside. If there's a little bit of light at the bottom and most of it's dark, then there's probably a chicken growing inside. So you wouldn't want to get an egg to eat that would have a chicken growing inside, would you?
Nope.
No, that wouldn't be so good at all, would it? There's also another way to test an egg to see whether it's good to eat or not. So we know there's no chicken growing in this egg and there's no dark spots. How do you know it's not rotten in the middle? You don't, do you? And you don't want to crack open a rotten egg, do you? That one smells so good. So what you can do is you take your egg and you place it in water. And if it sinks to the bottom and it lays on its side, that tells you that it doesn't have an extra air pocket in it, that something bad is growing inside, because if it's rotten, it would have an extra air pocket in the inside. That way you know that it's good to eat. So how do we know if people are good on the inside and they're following Jesus? I'm going to read you Matthew 7, 16 to 20. Maybe this will give you a little idea. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? No. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by your fruit. So when we have Jesus in our hearts, people will see the difference in us. Maybe we won't get angry as much. Maybe we will treat people kindly. People will see a change in us when we ask Jesus into our hearts. And just like that light shining through that egg, Jesus shines through us. He shines from inside our hearts out, and people can see that. So when you think about an egg, think about how Jesus shines through us, and people can see that we have him in our hearts. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seats. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless these children. Thank you for them. Draw each one to you. Help them to invite you, Jesus, into their hearts and let them shine. Shine in them and shine through them to the world around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do I tie it? That's a bad habit. Well, it's not a bad habit. It's a habit I got into when I used to work at a grocery store. You tie the bag shut, that way when you set them in the cart, they didn't fall over and everything spill out. So that's why I tie the bag shut. It's a habit that I formed many years ago in high school, working in a grocery store. So that's why I tie the bags. It's a force of habit. You hand me a shopping bag, I'll just tie it without thinking about it. So welcome again in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. I'd like to take a moment and pray for the Ristler family as they grieve the loss of Quentin. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you know the pain and the hurt that the entire Ristler family is feeling. This has been a difficult journey. We pray that you will be close to them. Fill them with a peace that comes from you. Pour out your peace on Floyd and Darlene and their children and the entire Ristler family. Draw them close to you. Carry them each day. In these weeks and months to come, I just pray that your presence will be with them, that they will feel you wrapping your arms around them. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll catch up on the slideshow. We'll just keep going. Well, this morning we'll be looking at the last letter written to the Church of Laodicea. Laodicea was a wealthy city during the Roman period. They were located on major trade routes connecting cities like Smyrna and Sardis, but it was also a center for textile production and banking. They were a wealthy city, and the Bible tells us that. So we're going to read Revelations 3, 14 to 22. Revelations 3, 14 to 22. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea, thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither hot, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. As many as I As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus is telling John to send this letter to the seventh church. Jesus starts his letter just as he did all the other letters, stating his authority. And we use the word amen to acknowledge or agree with something that is said. Amen can mean certainly, it is so, or so be it. It depends on the context. And Jesus is stating that he is the truth and the amen. He is showing us his authority. And we can look at John 1, 1 to 4 to confirm his statement in Revelations. So John 1, 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is showing us that he is God, and that his authority is above all. In his greeting in each letter, Jesus shows us who he is and his authority. And then this one, he is saying, I have authority over creation. I created it. And each letter, it just shows more and more of what Jesus' authority is. And he tells each church in each letter, I know your works. And he says that either your works are good or your works are bad and you're not following me. The church of Laodicea is lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. On a hot day, which we have experienced this past week, a cold drink, a nice cold drink of lemonade, that tastes good, right? It brings refreshment. When you're working outside at the end of the day, you just want to go and cool down and drink something cold and be refreshed. On the other side of that, On a cold day, all you want is something hot to drink. Drilling wells, there were days when I would be standing out there on the back of the drill rig, and the wind would be blowing and howling, and you had to stand there. And the water would be coming up out of the well, and it would be turning to ice on everything. And when you got back to the shop, all you wanted was a hot cup of coffee. Actually, really, all you wanted was something hot, and there was always coffee there. So that's kind of how I got started in drinking coffee. I just wanted something hot to drink. But Jesus is talking about their spiritual health in this church and that they're not hot or cold. And because of that, Jesus is saying, I'm going to reject you if you do not change and become hot or cold. See, when you drink something and you're expecting it to be cold and it's really warm, you really just want to spit it out again because that is not what you really wanted. And Jesus said that he would vomit them out of their mouth because they were not following him. They were trusting in themselves. So how did this church at Laodicea become lukewarm? This church, they put their faith in their own wealth. They didn't put it in Jesus. They put it in themselves. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And And this is Jesus speaking. And then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, "What should I do? Since I do not have anywhere to store my crops, I will do this," he said. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I will say to myself, 'You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and not rich towards God." The man in Jesus' parable, he was already rich. He was already wealthy. And his ground produced such an abundance that he was able to tear down his barns, build new ones, and still have so much left over that he could fill them up again. He could take life easy. He could eat, drink, and enjoy the things that he had. So in the same parable, going backwards a little bit, verses 13 to 15, looking at why Jesus told this parable. "Some from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' 'Friend,' he said to him, 'who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?' Then he told them, 'Watch out. Be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions.'" And then Jesus goes on to tell the parable. A man from the crowd wanted Jesus to judge in his favor regarding the inheritance his brother received. He was being fueled by greed. And Jesus states clearly that our life is not in the things of this world. It is in him. At the end of the parable, the man's life was demanded from him. He doesn't get to enjoy all the stuff he accumulated. He doesn't get to spend any of it. The rich man's barns were full of food and possessions, yet he did not acknowledge where those blessings came from. He had so much. He could have given all that abundance away and blessed so many people, trusting that God would take care of him. But instead, he trusted in his own wealth that he accumulated. And this is the same thing that is happening in the church of Laodicea. They are trusting in their own wealth, putting their faith in things, not in Jesus. If I have more money, more wealth, I won't have to worry about anything that's going on. The Laodicean church did not need anything, at least in their minds. Jesus is telling them that they are wretched, they are pitiful, they are poor, they are blind, they are naked. They are measuring themselves by the standard of the world. They were not measuring themselves up to God's standard. And where do we see this in our world? You don't have to look any farther than our nation. Greed is rampant. And unfortunately, that includes some churches. The money starts flowing, and they will do whatever they have to do to keep it flowing. That includes compromising on God's word and what it says. They won't offend anybody because they're worried about wealth and prestige and power. They're so worried about that they don't speak the complete truth of God and what his word says. So what does Jesus tell us that we should do to keep from being lukewarm? The Bible says, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So is our treasure in heaven or on earth? How do we keep from being lukewarm? Well, in this passage in Revelations, Jesus tells us to buy gold refined in the fire from him. When you refine gold, you put it in a vessel and you apply heat, and it melts, and all the impurities come to the surface and they can be removed. Does that mean we need to have heat applied to us? We need to be tested and tried and maybe even persecuted. That doesn't sound enjoyable, does it? It might not be. But it is necessary that we be refined, that we be tested, that we be tried. Because if we're not, we're going to end up like this church. We're going to be lukewarm. Because when we do become refined, our faith is deepened. Our faith grows. And our communion with Jesus, it just grows. And we're storing up our treasures in heaven and not on this earth. It goes on in this section of verses in Revelations. It also says that we're supposed to buy white clothes to cover our nakedness. Revelation 7, 13 to 17. Then one of the elders asked me, "Who are these people in white robes and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he told me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. The one seated on the throne will shelter them. They will no longer hunger. They will no longer thirst. The sun will no longer strike them, nor will any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is at the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of waters of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." They're receiving white robes because of their faith in Jesus. Because they stood until the end. They were heated. They were tested. They were refined. Their sins were washed away because of their faith. And then through their faith, their works showed what their faith was. Standing up under persecution. Jesus tells the church to go and buy ointment for their eyes so that they can see. How many of you have ever scratched your eye and the only thing you can do is squeeze it shut because every time you open it, the air gets to it and it just irritates it? Or you just keep blinking and that irritates it even more. Putting ointment in your eye, it brings relief to that irritation. Such a small thing can affect your whole body. And when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we can see clearly. He opens our eyes to the world around us. And then Jesus goes on to tell us to be zealous and repent. Repenting is being sorry for the wrong actions that I was doing, for my sins, the things that Jesus says are sins, turning away from them and towards God. Being zealous is showing great energy or a pursuit of a cause or objective. So if I go and say, "Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin I did," and I turn from it, and I go and I pursue Jesus, pouring out my heart, my energy, turning towards Him, then I am truly storing up treasures in heaven. So how do we become hot or cold if we're in the lukewarm middle? Repenting of our sins, turning towards God, becoming zealous for Him, pursuing Him with everything that we have, relying on Him for everything, trusting in Him, and not trusting in the things of this world, letting go of our grip on this world. Why was Jesus handing out this warning to this church and to us? It's because He loves them and He loves us. He wants us to come to Him with every part of our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strengths. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants a deep, passionate relationship with us. Jesus is standing at the door. He's knocking. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to give him control over your life? Or are you going to stay stuck in that lukewarm middle? He doesn't bust the door down like a fireman would or a SWAT team. He just stands there and knocks and waits to see if you'll let him in and give him control. Don't wait until it's too late to open that door. Let Jesus into your heart fully. Come, repent, turn towards him, be zealous for him. Move from that lukewarm middle, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Open that door and invite Jesus to come in and have that intimate communion with you. See, I can just picture Jesus sitting at a table with me and having a meal, and we can just talk and enjoy each other's company. Then Jesus goes on to say something that he says in each letter, every letter to all the seven churches. He says, to the one who conquers. When we stand up for our faith, we conquer. When we fight against sin in our lives, we conquer. When we spend time in God's word and in prayer, we conquer. When we live for Jesus, we conquer. And when we stand to the end of our lives, we will see that treasure that we stored up in heaven. And when we conquer for Jesus, it will be an amazing thing. And Jesus shares in each one of these letters a different blessing. And I believe that he will bless those who stand for him and conquer. He will bless each one with abundance of blessings. It says that we will have the right to sit with Jesus on his throne. I can just picture a child sitting on a father's lap. Or a child dragging a chair over to sit right next to their father as their father is doing something, so that they can see what he's doing and be a part of everything that he does. These verses, they show us a closeness that we will have with Jesus. It's not going to be this distant relationship. It'll be close. We'll be right there next to him, praising him for eternity. And in each letter, it says, let anyone who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're supposed to listen to what Jesus is saying in each one of these letters. Look at our lives. Apply it to our lives. And then make changes. Take the necessary steps to bring us closer to Jesus, moving us from that lukewarm middle to either hot or cold, where we are useful for the kingdom of God. We're also supposed to keep doing what we're already doing, honoring him in the ways that we are. So in closing, become hot or cold. Move from that middle place. Ask God to help you see where you need to make changes in your life. And then repent, turn back to him, and ask him to ignite a passion in you. A passion that can't be extinguished. And I leave you with these words. Anyone who has ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you continually knock to let at the door of our hearts so that we let you in to have full control. Help us to see where we need to change, where we are following you. Help us to be filled with a zeal for you that cannot be taken away or destroyed. Help us to stand in faith for you each day, so in the end that we may be with you forever as one who conquered. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to perceive you and your will. Help us to move from that lukewarm heart to one that is on fire for you. Refine us. Clothe us in white and put ointment in our eyes so that we may see you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Thank you.
So I have several announcements for you. The first one is Carl Sensenig has written a book, and there's information in either foyer. There's a bulletin board there, and you can find the information on a piece of paper there if you would like a copy. There's a note in your bulletin about the retirement of Jim Weick. He is one of the three of our bishop team who oversees our district. He oversees most of the northern churches. This is not a surprise. They knew this was coming at some point. They just didn't know when. So LMC will be forming a discernment team to find a new bishop to replace Jim Weick. So keep that process in your prayers. Next Sunday, our speakers will be Mike Wanger and Lauren Patches Keller. Lauren will be teaching our Sunday school time, and Mike will be giving our message during our worship service. Our church picnic today, if you didn't get the announcement, we're going to meet here at 4 o'clock and eat at 5. Just because of the uncertain weather, it looked like it was supposed to rain a lot today and then have thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. So we decided that we're going to have it here at church. Today is the last day to receive counsel from you about Ken filling the associate pastor role and Rick being licensed to a specific ministry. If you have any counsel to give to myself or one of the discernment team that you haven't already, please do that today, because then we'll be moving into the next steps of the process, which would be going to the conference to have an interview there. So will you stand for the parting benediction? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.